From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made when someone on your street put solar panels on their house. Have you thought about getting solar yourself? Here's another question. How many U.S. homeowners have done that yet? How many U.S. homes have solar installed? What would you guess the answer is? According to the latest Pew Research, only 6% of U.S. homeowners say they've already installed solar. But 46% say they are looking seriously at going solar. So now let's shift the idea of solar itself. Have you heard of community solar? Here's the idea. Community solar is designed to enable households to receive the benefits of solar energy, which would be lower electricity costs, reduced carbon footprint, without having to install panels on their own homes or property. And now more than 3,000 local households will be part of a brand new community solar program, what is billed as the first of its kind in the country. But how does it actually work? Who pays for it? What are the drawbacks? Our guests sort through these sometimes complicated details to explain community solar and what is coming to some local villages. Joining us this hour, the ever-patient Sue Hughes-Smith, the member of Rocktricity, who is with us on the line. Sue, welcome back to the program.
Thanks so much for having me, Evan.
And I would say that Ben Frevert, also a member of Rocktricity, has a monk-like patience with me on this subject. Ben, I always appreciate it. Thank you.
Good to be here.
Jessica Strombach is Managing Director for Jewel Assets. Jessica, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you very much for having me.
We've got a trustee from the Village of Lima, John Waddock, back with the program. Hi, John. Thanks for being with us.
Hi, Evan. Thanks for having me.
And from the Village of Brockport, the mayor is Margie Blackman. Mayor Blackman, welcome back. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Evan. Glad to be here.
Jessica, briefly, tell us what Jewel Assets is.
Well, Jewel Assets is really acting as the administrator of this program, working with our local partner, Rocktricity, and the villages of Lima and Brockport to bring this service to the communities, and very happy to be able to partner with these great groups.
So let me start with Sue on this, because we always get a lot of questions, and frankly, I am, you know, I'm not the smartest interviewer in the world on this subject. I'm keenly interested, but I want to make sure we understand when we're talking about community solar what exactly we mean. Sue, Ben, I'll start with you. Sue, you want to take us through it? Go ahead.
Sure thing. Thanks, Evan. So community solar is when a field of solar panels is installed. They have to be of a certain size, usually 5 megawatts or smaller. And people subscribe to a field. That's typically how it's been done. And then that electricity that's generated goes onto the distribution grid, and, you know, that people are then able to offtake it. So customers are getting credits or values or savings, if you will, for joining community solar programs. Traditionally, people have had to find these opportunities and pass a credit check and pay two bills, their utility bill where the savings are listed, and pay the solar developer. And so these sorts of hurdles, signing a contract, having a credit check, having two bills, reduces participation. And this program that's coming to Lima and Brockport overcome a bunch of those hurdles, and that's why it's super exciting.
How did you pull this off then? I mean, and Sue, is it accurate to call this first of its kind in the country?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, then how did you do this?
Well, we finally had the Public Service Commission give us the last approval that we needed. So Jewel Assets is a administrator for community choice aggregation programs, which we've talked about before, I think, Evan. And that Public Service Commission authority is what we're using to implement this community solar program on an opt-out basis, where everyone in the community will be able to participate. So basically, the state of New York put in place a program. Jewel became an administrator for that type of program, went through extra steps to be able to include community solar. And we just got the final approval from the Department of Public Service to say, yes, you can give anyone eligible in Brockport and Lima community solar credits if their communities have passed the requisite rules.
All right. And in a moment, we'll talk to the representatives from Brockport and Lima about their participation and what they expect to get out of this. But let me ask Ben Frevert some of the more, some of the more detailed questions. Ben's kind of our wonk. And Ben, the first question I got when we teased the program this morning, the first question I heard from a listener was, if I'm living in Brockport or Lima, does that mean that I don't have to get solar on my own house now? What do you say to that, Ben?
It doesn't preclude them from getting solar on their own house, but they can't participate in both programs. So if you get solar on your own house, that's great, and you can enjoy those benefits, but you could not then participate in a community solar program. So if you're considering that, you really want to understand the benefits of each and how they compare, because they are different, and they would provide a homeowner with some different avenues towards savings.
All right. How do you see let me back up and ask you, because I got all the dumb questions, right? What are the most common questions that you get on this when you try to explain it to communities, when you try to explain the benefits? What are the questions you're getting, and how do you work through making sure people understand what this is all about, Ben?
Well, in our programs, we've coupled community solar with community choice aggregation, and we've been on your show and talked about community choice aggregation a couple of times, I think. And one of the questions often, a category of the questions has to do with confusion between the two programs. So we spend a fair amount of time trying to make sure people understand the difference between community choice aggregation, which affects only the supply portion of their bill, and community solar, which is a savings off of the dollar figure for the entire amount of the bill. Our CCA programs, as you know, are opt-out, which means that people in those municipalities that put CCA in place are in the program unless they opt out or they're ineligible for some other reason. Whereas in the past, communities that put community solar in place under their CCA program, those programs have been opt-in. That means that the community members that want to participate have to sign up. And now we're headed toward doing it as, doing that same community solar with an opt-out approach. So a lot of the questions come around the confusion between opt-in and opt-out and between CCA and CDG. So we spend a fair bit of time simply explaining those differences and how it looks different on people's bill. Now, Sue had kind of mentioned that there have been some changes that have come through the Public Service Commission. One of the recent changes was that the credits and the cost of those credits for community solar participation will show up on a single bill. It's called consolidated billing, and that's a relatively new thing. And that is what has really enabled us to do this under a CCA program with an opt-out authority. So customers go from getting one bill and then being enrolled in the CDG program with their municipality and still get just one bill. There's no surprise there to them. That's a key part.
Okay, Ben, if you lived in Brockport or Lima, would you put solar on your home or would you just sign up for community solar?
That would depend a lot on the deal that you were getting to put solar on your home. So if you're going to be in your home for a long time. So if you're going to be in your home for a long time and you're willing to take a little bit of the risk associated with outlaying the funds up front to put solar on your home, then I think you should definitely consider that. If there's any questions there or you just don't want to deal with the details and the risk of solar on your home, then you would go with community solar. I have solar on my home but I'm, as you mentioned, I'm a little bit of a nerd about it. So if you're not interested in getting into the details and dealing with all of the minutiae there, then community solar is a great way to go.
And, Sue, before we get that village perspective, I mean, who is the biggest lobby against this kind of change? Who's pushing hard against this?
I don't think anyone's pushing hard against it. It's just taken a while for the utilities to be required to consolidate the bill. And National Grid is ready first. And that's why this is only available to communities in National Grid service territory. The other utilities have been required to be ready in 2021. So this will be coming to our other communities down the road. But National Grid is leading the utilities in this, consolidating all the information onto the utility bill.
Yeah, I take the point that maybe there's not like a whole lot of active opposition, but I mean, eventually, doesn't this hurt big oil?
Well, probably, yeah. I mean, the fossil fuel companies are always against renewables regardless. Yeah, that's for sure.
Okay, so we're talking community solar. Listeners, if you've got questions, comments, this is a good chance to get questions answered. It's 844-295-TALK, toll-free, 844-295-8255, 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. You can email the program connections@WXXI.org. Mayor Blackmon in Brockport, when's the first time you heard about community solar, and how much have you felt like you've had to learn about this to get this thing online?
Well, I think I'm still learning, and I'll learn more at the public meeting that we are holding in respect to this project on September 22nd. But I learned about solar, starting with really municipal solar, because we went to the town of Williamson on a field trip, some of us from the village board, back in 2015, because we wanted to go to municipal solar, and I believe they were the first town in upstate New York to go to municipal solar, which we finally did, went online in December of 2019. And ever since then, I became really interested in getting community distributed generation for our residents. And when this opportunity came up, and we joined the CCA a few years ago, actually, before this opportunity came up for solar. And when it did, I was really excited to join it, in part because of this option, in large part because of the option of a consolidated bill, because I knew that Brockport residents, although there were lots of solar companies around that were sending out notices saying, you know, you can have community solar, I knew that Brockport residents would not be happy about getting two bills. So the consolidated billing is huge.
Even if they're saving money, just that consolidated billing was a big key here for you.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, knowing our residents, I knew that they wouldn't be who wanted to get two bills and have to deal with that. And we're doing that with municipal solar, because we get all the solar credits, and then we have we've pulled the library onto it, which is owned by three municipalities and our fire district. And so we have to build them and then pay back the developer. So it's more work for us.
Yeah. And Mayor, do you see drawbacks to this?
Actually, no, not yet.
Nothing stands out, really.
No, not really. I mean, we're Brockport is, we have a fairly high poverty rate in the community, and to be able to offer this to all of our residents, most of whom probably don't have the financial means to put solar panels on their homes, this is really large. And saving, I just looked at my electric bill, and I know I would save over $100 a year just with the 10% savings. So I think it's a win.
Talking to Mayor Blackmon of the Village of Brockport, and you mentioned meetings. I've got two dates for meetings. Sue Hughes Smith, the 22nd and the 24th, both in September, I think. Is that right? Both coming up?
That's correct. Yeah, I've been in the Village of Brockport at the courthouse on Tuesday the 22nd at 6 p.m. And in Lima on Thursday the 24th at the ambulance center at 7 p.m.
Okay, so there you go. If you want to learn more about that, Mayor, do you get the feeling that there's going to be a lot of interest, public interest in attending and learning about this?
I hope so.
Well, what has generally been the feedback been in Brockport? What are you hearing?
Actually, haven't heard much yet. We just, as soon as Rocktricity put out the press release, we put it on our Facebook page the other day. So it's there. It's on our Facebook page. I think the press release has gone to the media, so I don't know that people haven't really known that much about it until now. So hopefully your program will help as well.
All right. Let me bring in John Waddick from Lima in just a second. And as I do that, Ann in Bloomfield has a question that I'm sure our guest can address. Go ahead, Ann.
Hi, good afternoon. So I live in Bloomfield. I have a deer coming across the road. I'm literally like 5 minutes from the Lima border. Will it be for just Lima or Bloomfield and Honeyway Falls?
It's going to be just Lima for now.
That's John Waddick, trustee from the Village of Lima. Okay. Is there more? Does that help, Ann? I mean, it sounds like you're hoping that maybe it was wider coverage.
Yeah, it was. It does help to know, but I'm hoping that maybe Bloomfield can figure this out too. That would be cool.
So I just want to jump in from Jewel Assets here.
Yeah.
And we would completely agree with you. And if you're interested in it, the easiest thing for you to do is reach out to your local municipal leadership and tell them to call their neighbors in Lima, and we're happy to help them get on board with the program. So this is something that's absolutely possible to do in your region or in your town, but it's just got to come from the municipal leadership, and we'd be happy to help them, or I'm sure the town of Lima and Brockport would be happy to show them how to do it.
Yeah, that's Jessica Strombeck, Managing Director for Jewel Assets. So, Jessica, if Jewel gets a call from Bloomfield or any municipality, local government, how fast can you start the process of working with them?
We can start the process of working with them immediately. And there are a lot of players interested in supporting this. It's something we're all very excited about, including, mm-hmm. of course, the solar industry, et cetera. So, we would be able to help right away. Of course, there's always steps to take, mm-hmm. but these aren't things that are terribly complicated. It's just some work that needs to get done.
Well, ahead, Sue. Yeah.
I could just interject. If any local municipalities or, members of local communities are interested in seeing this and seeing if it's possible for their communities, that's what Rocktricity does. So they want to get a hold of us at Rocktricity. Our phone number is 585-244-0244. We've been speaking to the Village of Honeyway Falls already and look forward to seeing them next week. This particular opt-out community solar program, which is a guaranteed savings for those who are able to participate, is still only available in National Grid territory. So if your community is in National Grid territory, you want to see this happen, please reach out to us.
Okay. Denise writes to the program and says, I've got National Grid in Riga and Churchville. Is this an option for me, or do you have to live in Lima or Brockport? Sounds to me like, Denise, for the moment, you got to be in Lima or Brockport. But Sue is saying, just keep the conversation going. And I see Stephanie Townsend, who's a town board member of the town of Pittsford. She writes to us to say, on Tuesday, the town of Pittsford decided to implement a community solar program. We are pleased to be able to offer residents one more way to invest in renewable energy and solar infrastructure in our region. So, Sue, what is the momentum? I mean, how many more municipalities are on their way with this?
Right. So, important to clarify, we're very excited that the town of Pittsford is looking to run a opt-in community solar program, and it's opt-in because we have RG&E as our utility service provider. So if you're in the town of Pittsford, we look forward to communicating with the residents shortly about the opportunities there. But that will be the old model, where you still have to get a second bill for the time being, and we hope to move into the opt-out model next year in 2021. So that's one clarification. If you are in National Grid territory in a place like Riga, the only reason this is possible in Brockport and Lima is because Brockport and Lima both passed the Community Choice Aggregation Enabling Law. And so the other villages and towns would need to take that step first, then sign with Jewel as the administrator, because currently Jewel is the only administrator able to run opt-out community solar programs, and Rocktricity is happy to have conversation with municipal officials or residents so they can understand the process in more detail.
All right, I hate to do this, Sue, but I'm trying to channel all the listeners going, wait a second, you got to do this again for me. Opt out versus opt in.
Yeah, right. And this is crucial. This is why the program in Lima and Brockport is so exciting. We are going to be delivering 10% savings to all of those community members that are eligible through community solar savings. And all of that is going to be on their utility bill. Okay. And that's why it's opt out, meaning as soon as we finish all the required outreach, everyone will be included in this program that is eligible to be included. They won't have to do anything to participate. It will just start arriving. The savings will start arriving on their utility bill, hopefully around December. That's our goal. So that's opt out. That's only possible in National Grid territory right now. Okay?
Mm-hmm. And as Sue mentioned, that's only possible in those communities that have signed up for CCA, because it is the CCA program that gives the municipality the authority to sign those people up for the program without the individual customers having to sign themselves up.
Exactly.
Okay. Whereas opt in.
It means that you have to choose to join the program. And that is what's happening and will be happening in RG&E territory until we get utility changes that would allow there to be just one bill. So no municipality is going to require all their residents to get a second bill. And we don't recommend that. Jewel doesn't recommend that, which is why the town of Pittsburgh will start with a program where we're asking people to join. And that's simply what opt-in means.
Can I make a couple of observations, or tell me if I'm right about these, Sue? And then we're going to get John's perspective from what's going on and how Lima got involved here. So, Sue, a couple of things. First of all, who in the world would opt out if someone says, hey, good news, your bill is going to be 10% less unless you opt out? Who is opting out?
Like, nobody should.
I mean, like people who love big oil. Or yeah. John McChevron might, I don't know, who is opting out of this?
Only someone for some reason who doesn't like renewable energy, as far as I can tell.
There's one category of customers out there that might opt out, and we've seen this with the CCA program, and there are some, we have run into some customers who don't want to feel as if the municipality is making a decision for them. Mm-hmm. We've run into that with CCA. Even when there's savings offered, they would rather, you know, not be being told to do something or being felt like they're being made to do something. But it's beneficial to all of the customers. They should stay in.
Okay. In other words, Ben, you can't tell me what to do, even if it saves money and it helps with climate change.
Right.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
Okay. Interesting. Now, on the other side of things, you know, for example, what Stephanie Townsend's talking about in Pittsburgh with an opt-in model, what we know from research is that even when something is beneficial to people and just about any area of their lives, and here's a good example, if person X has a job and their employer comes to them and says, hey, if you contribute to if you want to contribute to your retirement, we'll put in a 3% match, a 5% match. All you got to do is sign this form, opt in, and we'll do it. Free money. It's an amazingly low number of people who actually do it, even though it basically is just giving away money. Whereas if they are automatically enrolled, of course they do it. And that's what they want. They want that company match. But if you make them take the time to do it themselves, it's shocking how few people actually do it. Sue, do you see this similar to the opt-out, opt-in question?
Oh, absolutely. That's why it's just crucial. And this is why the program will transform the ability to deliver solar energy across the state of New York.
Okay.
Because if you don't have to take an action and it's just being provided for you, who isn't going to participate?
Yeah,
right?
Jessica, how do you see the opt-out, opt-in question?
Yeah, exactly the same way. So it's really, it's 5%. You know, we do a lot of community outreach and we've done it all over New York. And when you have to get people to opt in, you're doing really, really well to get 5% of the population to opt in. And, you know, kudos to them. When you do work it this way, you get the entire available population. So, and people really benefit from it and they appreciate it. But it's just taking that step and making that decision that's such a hurdle. And that's why this is exciting. And like Sue says, it's really a catalyst and a huge enabler for New York State.
Mayor Blackmun, what is the timeline for making this really happen here? I mean, what does that horizon look like for your village of Brockport?
Well, I think Sue is probably the one that can answer this. I know we have a 60-day period to sort of complete this in terms of public meetings, and then she did say that she hoped to see this up and operating by December, I believe.
Is that right, Sue? December?
That's our goal. Yeah, maybe the end of November. We have to do 60 days of public outreach. So this this event next Tuesday will be the first. There'll be another information session in October that we'll be advertising. And so after September, October, hopefully have all the other loose ends tied up and people will be seeing credits by December.
John Waddick, is it possible for December for Lima as well?
Evan, we have been seeking to do this since 2017, so we're ready, willing, able, and eager, okay?
All right.
So yes, we're ready to go. So we get our public information going, and it's not going to be Lima holding anybody up, that's for sure.
So let's take our only break. We'll come back and get John's story for what's going on in Lima. And these snapshots of these communities, Brockport, Lima, they're the kind of examples that listeners are calling and emailing right now saying, well, I live in Bloomfield. Could it be us? I live in Riga. Could it be us? Listeners also asked, how do you spell Juul? So they might be calling Jessica Strombeck. Juul is like the energy. I think it's a unit of energy. I'm so bad at science, and I love science. It's so sad. J-O-U-L-E, Juul Assets, is Jessica Strombeck's company. She's the managing director. Sue Hugh-Smith and Ben Freevitt are here from Rocktricity, and Mayor Blackmun from Brockport. Trustee Waddick is here from Lima. Let's take that break, and we'll come right back. And yes, the Juul is a derived unit of energy in the International System of Units, and I am doing my high school teachers proud. We're right back on Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Friday on The Next Connections, the co-authors of a new book on campaign finance say the subject is misunderstood. We talked to University of Rochester professor David Primo about his new book that argues that campaign finance reform is not a cure-all for what ails democracy. Then in our second hour, the unusual story of a hot New York City wine bar and restaurant that picked up during the pandemic and moved to the Finger Lakes. We'll talk Supernatural Lake. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. We're talking about the idea of community solar. Not necessarily putting solar panels on your own home, but community solar, which if you're just joining us, I'll ask Ben Freevert to give you the 30 seconds on what that means, and then we're going to talk to John from the Village of Lima. But for those just jumping in, Ben, community solar is what?
Community solar is solar farms that are built to serve more than one customer, and traditionally you've had to sign up for participation with a community solar developer. But that's all changing, just as we're talking about, that municipalities are heading down the path of bringing customers on board from within their community.
All right, John Waddick is a trustee for the Village of Lima, and just told us that they've been looking at this for a long time. So what's this look like now? Take us through what Lima's been doing and how you see this issue in your village, John.
Okay, so back in 2017, Juul and Rocktricity, I contacted them, and actually Lima was the first municipality in the Rochester area to sign up for community choice aggregation, which provides the local municipality the ability to negotiate an energy deal on behalf of all of their residents. So we put that in place in 2017, and then quickly the second step for a municipality is to pick an administrator. So You know, that was once again a no-brainer because Juul Assets really is. They're the company that instituted a lot of renewables in Westchester County, and I believe they might be the only ones in New York State that are approved by the Public Service Commission to do this kind of work. And then Rocktricity, their partner, which is going to help with the outreach and the administration of the program, is big as well because the Village of Lima, we only have like 8 employees, okay? So there's no way we're going to take on a billing aspect for all this or service or, you know, our lights are out. So we don't have to do any of that. National Grid is going to continue to provide the service and the billing just like they always did, and Rocktricity is going to be there as our customer support network. So if people have questions, well, they may initially call me, Evan, but I don't want to give you my cell phone number over the air here, but they're going to get Sue Hughes Smith and Ben Frevert's number over there at Rocktricity. So, you know, the question is, you know, why not so much why did Lima do it, but why wouldn't we do it, Evan? And that's something I've been asking about other communities around. Why wouldn't you pass the community choice aggregation legislation to give you the ability to do this? My only thesis on that is that, hey, we want to wait and see if someone else does it first and see if they get burned. Well, I see no downside to it, okay? Village of Lima residents will be able to do absolutely nothing and pick up a credit on their National Grid bill. I mean, if that's something that you're worried about screwing up, I don't know how it's going to screw up. But if there has been, I remember when we brought it up about opt-in and opt-out on our board, there was a board member who was adamant against doing opt-out. And I said, don't worry about it. We'll do opt-out. Because if we have an irate person coming in and saying, hey, I'm angry that you saved me $100, I'll be glad to try to address that.
But, John, do you have residents in the village who are skeptical or are resisting this?
No, not yet, because they, you know, most people don't listen to your show. They don't read newspapers.
Excuse me.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure most people actually do, but go right ahead.
Okay. Well, let's say this. A lot of people don't keep up. You know, they don't get our local newspaper. They don't, you know, they don't read our newsletter that goes out quarterly with their water bill. But anyway,
sure.
So they, I would imagine there's going to be a large number that are not even going to notice anything happened. They won't even read their bill, okay? But there'll be others that might say, what's this credit? But that's about it, you know. So, no, I'm not hearing any opposition, and I'm ready, you know. And the other thing is, okay, so if you don't like big government, and we do live down here in a very conservative, you know, red area, so, you know, there's skepticism and hatred toward government, but you can opt out, okay? All right? So all this, the little equation has changed. Instead of having to sign your name to say you want to get in, you have to sign your name to get out. Very easy. There's no charge. Now, at a later time, after you've seen credits going onto your bill and you're paying less, you say, "Darn it! I want to pay more. I want to start burning coal." You can opt out in 6 months, a year, 2 weeks from now, and there's no charge. So no strings attached, no penalty. You can opt out. Nobody's taking your rights away from you.
A form of protest by deciding to opt out in order to pay more and to burn more fossil fuels instead of utilizing clean energy as a form of protest.
Yeah, someone could do that, sure. And there's no penalty whatsoever.
And some people probably will do that, I assume.
I don't see the logic, but I suppose.
Okay. But again, John, the timeline for Lima, ideally, when are you online with this?
We're online with it as soon as Rocktricity, National Grid, and Juul pull the switch. We're ready.
But does that mean a month? Does that mean 3?
I think realistically to go through the proper public education, because we don't want to rush this, even though it sounds great. People need to have a chance to digest it and ask questions. So we don't want to shortchange the public information process at all. It's going to go out on our newsletter. We're going to have two public information meetings and press releases. So realistically, to do that well, Evan, it's going to probably be December.
Okay. And if you want to attend these meetings coming up here, let's ask John and Margie about when they are. So in Lima, if you want to attend and learn more, when, John?
It's Thursday, September 24th, and the meeting would begin at 7 p.m., and it's at our ambulance base, which is located at 7024 West Main Street in Lima. We just ask anyone attending that they please wear a mask, and we will be enforcing social distancing at the meeting.
That's next Thursday night, 7 p.m. in Lima, next Tuesday in Brockport. Is that right, Mayor?
Yes.
Okay.
6 p.m., Village Court.
Next Tuesday, 6 p.m., Village Court in Brockport. And listeners, there's a lot of interest already. I see the phone ringing again, people asking about their various parts of the region and how they can be a part. I'll come back to your emails in just a second. Let me grab a few phone calls. Margaret in Rochester first. Go ahead, Margaret.
Hi, thanks for talking to me.
Sure.
I have solar panels on my house, but when the opt-in program was offered in the city, I signed up for it because even though I have solar panels, I still buy electricity off the grid when the sun's not shining, when it's cloudy and I'm not generating enough electricity. I was turned down. I could not join because I had solar panels. I don't understand that, and I wonder if that's going to happen to other people who may already have solar panels. If maybe Sue would know that, I don't know. I hope.
Thanks for the call, and you are correct. It's not unusual or unique to you. It is a rule that the state of New York has put in place because there were financial incentives that the state has put in when people put solar panels on their house, and there are state incentives for the community solar programs. So they've taken the position that they don't want people to be double dipping, I guess. And that's not anything anyone has control over other than the state of New York.
Okay. Margaret,
is that a forever or is there a time limit?
Forever. But I think there's a case to be made that you're making that people should be able to take advantage of both. That is just an argument you would need to take up with your elected state representatives.
Well, thank you. At least I know where to go with this now.
Yeah, Margaret, thank you. Good luck to you.
Okay.
A couple other comments I want to work through. Here's a good question from Bob in Fairport. He writes, Evan, most of the discussion has been from the customer perspective. How about more on the supply side? I don't think we're talking about Lima buying a cornfield and developing a solar farm. If the solar power is bought from a general marketplace, how can the customer savings be guaranteed? Is it possible that the program could be oversubscribed, more willing customers than solar energy available? Thank you. From Bob in Fairport. Jessica from Jewel Assets, do you want to start with that one?
Sure. So that's a very good question. In this case, one of the people involved is in fact a solar developer. So this money goes to, we will be doing a competitive bidding process, which the towns of Lima and Brockport will be party to. Electricity will also keep track of that. We'll take the best offers of the solar farms, that are closest to being built and closest to the towns or villages, and then we'll select them. And this is all going to be, very hands-on. Everyone's going to be known, and also the amount of solar that they have available will be known. And we'll just make sure that we buy enough so that everybody's covered and everybody can safely be sure that they're going to be seeing their 10% off.
Okay. Ben, can you add to that as well? I mean, is that a kind of a common question, and are you concerned about at all about oversubscribing, Ben?
Well, certainly not in the near term. So there are quite a number of solar projects in various stages of development, and some that have been completed that were designed to serve this kind of a market, the community solar market, whether it's the private sector community solar market or these coming CCA associated programs. So at least in the near term, that we don't expect to see that happen at all, and presumably the solar developers will continue to see this happening in conjunction with CCA, the opt-out style CDG programs, and they'll step up their construction of those projects. A lot of what has held them up in the past is they don't have enough customers signed up to justify building the projects. This will inspire that. And to some extent, I guess I would say, you know, it would be nice if we could push forward the demand for this to the extent that it begins to look like it might overrun the supply, so that we send a signal to the market that they just need to build more and they need to build them faster.
All right, Bob in Fairport, thank you very much. Brian in Spencerport calls in to say that some people might think that they don't want to be a part of this because this is socialism. Okay, I am trying to get inside the mindset of why people would opt out, and Brian is offering one idea. So let me ask both of our guests from government. John Waddick, I'll start with you. You're going to have a public meeting. If people stand up and say, I'm not doing this, this is socialism, why is the government involved? What do you say to that?
Well, one of the primary purposes of government is to improve people's lives, and by saving them money and allowing them to use that money for other urgent needs is, I think, a laudable use of government resources. Now, I'm going to just also say to the irate person, here's this little card. You sign right here, and you're out of it.
Okay, Mayor Blackmon?
I quite agree with John. If you think it's socialism, then fine. I'm probably not going to change your mind. So please go ahead and opt out. But, you know, I see it as something that's really for the public good, and that's something that government can do for the public good. And we are constantly in Brockport looking for ways, because we have a high tax rate, to save our constituents' money. And this is one of them.
Do you think this is socialism, Mayor Blackmon?
Do I think it is? No.
Yeah. Well, you say you're not going to change someone's mind. I think you can. Why not? Are minds unchangeable these days?
Sure. I mean, I'm sorry. I guess I'm just thinking of the current political climate, in that it is so hard to change people's minds about certain things. And yes, I would try. I would make that argument. But in the end, if they think it's socialism and I'm not going to change their view, then fine, opt out.
Yep. Fair enough.
Now, I'd like to add one thing on that.
Sure, John.
Look, it's still private enterprise building these solar farms, okay? We're going out and bidding into this process. The only thing government is doing is negotiating a better deal for people. But it's still private enterprise that is administering this. It's private enterprise building these things. And it's National Grid, who is also private enterprise, who's going to be delivering. So it's not government-owned solar, so we are not owning the means of production, not socialism.
All right, two similar questions via email that I'll read, and I'll direct to Sue Hugh Smith from Rocktricity. Jill says, how do you know if you are on the national grid or if your town is eligible? I'd love to suggest this in my town of East Irondequoit. Carol says, it keeps being mentioned the program will be offered to those who are eligible. What is the criteria? Carol and Jill, go ahead, Sue Hugh Smith.
Sure thing. Well, if you get a utility bill, which if you get electricity, you probably do, you'll notice who it's from. Irondequoit is an RG&E service territory, so we're not quite ready to move forward with this type of program there. The other question, I'm sorry, Evan, was what?
Well, just a general eligibility that people need to know about, and how to know if you're on the national grid.
Right, right. So if you're in National Grid territory, you get a bill from National Grid, and you are eligible to participate if you are in a community like Lima and Brockport, only at this point, because they're the only ones that have taken the required steps if you are in those communities, you would be eligible so long as you don't have solar panels on your house, so long as you haven't already subscribed to some other community solar project. Otherwise, you should be participating. So really, in my mind, is a program that is an equalizer. You don't have to pass a credit check. It's not just for the rich. It's for anyone who's getting a utility bill and doesn't already own solar.
And Sue, you talked about a 10% discount. Richard writes to say, what possibility is there that once people sign up to get the discount will soon disappear?
So that's a great question. The discount can't disappear because it's essentially required by the rules that the state of New York has put in place between the relationship between the solar developers and the utility. Ben could probably give you a lot of wonky detail on that, but it's required to save people money, and it isn't something that just disappears. And it will save the money for up to like 20 years. If you live wherever you are in National Grid territory in this community for the next 20 years, you should get savings monthly on your utility bill as a result, which is pretty exciting. And one other thing, Evan, I'd really like to thank the Village of Lima and the Village of Brockport for their leadership on this issue. They have been with us and waiting to implement a program that would benefit their community, and we can't thank them enough for their leadership.
All right. Let me work in some more phone calls before the hour is up here. Taylor in Webster. Hi, Taylor. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I appreciate it, and I like your show. My comment is about the socialism comment, and I would just encourage listeners to look up how much gas companies receive in tax-paid, federally funded dollars maybe every year, and then look at that. I'm not going to argue numbers or whatnot, but when you look at how much the gas industry is funded by taxpayers, and I would ask, is that socialism on the old old fossil fuel that doesn't work? And we have serious climate problems, and I myself personally have purchased solar panels in myself, and the savings are ridiculous. I did involve myself in that program, and community solar wasn't really available at that time, but I thought that was a great idea because as the owner of this, I'm required to pay the maintenance on it, and had a lightning strike and had to get a new inverter, and thankfully it was insured. But I think this is just a great program, and I like what the caller said about addressing the policy and how it's distributed with the law. And maybe there's a possibility for us to change the law where you can get solar and then supplement it with solar powered and make the programs match. I think that's something that not only is there a need, but it's doing wonderful things. So thank you for taking my call.
Sure. Thank you, Taylor. And to Taylor's point, it is fair to say that there's a strange disconnect when we talk about new energy, clean energy, and some of the outcry about government subsidy, which, I mean, this goes back years now, which sort of ignores all of the government money and intertwined level of activity between fossil fuels and government. So I take that point, Taylor. It's probably easy to find some of the figures there, but I want to squeeze in Jim and Irondequoit last on the phone. Keep it tight, Jim. Go ahead.
Okay, thanks. I just have some encouraging folks information for folks who aren't in Lima or Brockport and or are in the RG&E territory. There are at least two companies that are supporting solar farms for community solar in those areas. It's an opt-in program, has all the same benefits as what we're doing with CCA, and I'm very supportive of CCA, so I'm not trying to take away their business. But you do have to sign up with those companies. One is called Ampion Energy, and one is called Astro Energy. I'm working with a group called Rochester Area Interfaith Climate Action, RICA, R-A-I-C-A. We have a website, raica.net. And we really are kind of focusing on faith communities, to be able to sign up, because churches can't take the benefit of, you know, putting solar on their buildings. They can take advantage of this community solar. There's a couple of differences. This opt-in has two bills, not the one bill like CCA has. So that's a bit of a disadvantage. They will actually withdraw money directly from your savings account or checking account. A 10% savings of every single penny that they credit to your RG&E bill. There's no cost to sign up. There's no cost to cancel. There is a five-year agreement, but you can cancel at any time. So that it's 5 years so that you don't have to renew something every year. So the same 10% savings on credit applies. And I'll stop with that.
Yeah, Jim, thank you. Ben Sue, we only got about 35 seconds. One of you want to jump in and respond there? Go ahead.
Just Jim's correct. There are opportunities for people to be involved with opt-in community solar already, and that's what makes this unique in Brockport and Lima, and hopefully all across the state soon, is it just makes it super simple for people to save 10% and facilitate the development of clean, renewable solar energy.
All right, if you want to get
another point.
Oh, yeah, go ahead, Ben. Keep it tight. Go ahead.
Yeah, just one other point is that with many of those private-type community solar projects, you have to sign a contract. That's not the case with these programs, which gives some people a little more freedom and flexibility.
And so if you want to get in touch with Rocktricity, as some of our listeners have indicated, Sue, what's the way to do it?
Yeah, see us on our website. You can email us. Our contact information is all on there, or call us at 585-244-0244.
What's the website for Rocktricity?
Rocktricity.com.
Jessica, what's the website for Jewel Assets?
JewelAssets.com.
JewelAssets.com, J-O-U-L-E. Jessica, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Sue, Ben from Rocktricity, thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for having us.
Mayor Blackmon, Tuesday, 6 p.m. in Brockport. Thank you very much, and we appreciate the time.
Thank you.
John from Lima, Thursday, 7 p.m. Thank you, John.
Oh, thanks for having me.
And listeners, we'll talk to you tomorrow.